Blog Talk Radio.
Good Saturday morning for this January 22nd, 2011, and welcome, welcome, welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Off the Shelf. Thank you so much for joining us here this morning. It is absolutely a joy to have you here with us. I say that every Saturday and every Saturday. It is so, so true. For those of you who are tuning in for the first time, I want to introduce myself. I'm your host, Denise Turney, coming to you live from the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And as always, and again, I thank you sincerely for your support. And I encourage you not to let another day pass, not one more day, before you pick up a copy of Long Walk Up. It is a very moving and inspirational book about a phenomenal little girl from East Africa. And this book will encourage you and inspire you to go after your dreams. And it costs less than $10. You can pick up a copy of Long Walk Up today by visiting www.chistell.com. You can also pick up a copy of Long Walk Up at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Cush City, Borders, Walmart, etc. If you don't see it on the bookstore shelves, just ask the clerk for it, and they can order it for you because it's carried by the largest book distributors in the world. And now to introduce you to our special guest. Today's guest is a native of Ohio, my home state. I was so excited when I researched for the interview and I saw that. She's also a mother, a leader, and the author of the book, Mommy Leadership: How to Use Your Motherhood Experience to Grow as a Leader. She earned her bachelor's degree in industrial engineering from Kettering University, and her MBA from Indiana University. She is online at www.mommyleadership.com, and it's spelled the way it sounds, MommyLeadership.com. Again, that's mommyleadership.com. You can go over, check her out, even as you listen to the interview. And who is this amazing woman? She is the one and only Stephanie Williams. Welcome to Off the Shelf, Stephanie.
Thank you so much. What a wonderful introduction.
Oh, so glad to have you here. As I was doing the research for this interview, I said, wow, your approach for your book, and we're going in our seventh year here at Off the Shelf, your approach is something that, of all the authors that we've interviewed, this is a first. Where I've heard people say you can take your experiences as a mother, like if you're going to seek employment, and sometimes women think, oh, all I've done is raise children. I don't have any work experience.
Right.
And then I've heard people say, oh, but you do. You do have skills that are necessary and valuable in the workforce. Oh, absolutely you do. Can you imagine leading little 2-year-olds? If you can lead little 2-year-olds, my goodness, what you can do with when you're working with adults. But for 20 years, Stephanie, just to give our off-the-shelf listeners some backstory, some background on you, for 20 years you worked in the corporate world. And I also spent several years there in that world. And the corporate world is a little different than other work industries. If you work like in manufacturing, but you're not in the corporate side, or retail, but not in the corporate side. So it's a little different. So you were there for 20 years. And for me, that speaks volumes. And you also worked as a corporate buyer in the automotive industry. In that industry, you generally kind of stays in the headlines. And on top of all this, you were also a mother. How did you balance both of these worlds, Stephanie? Because they're so different, I think. How did you pull it off?
Oh, my goodness. I just have to tell you that it has been a struggle, frankly, and honestly, it's been a struggle. It is a constant process of readjusting, being flexible, working smarter and not harder. And I still have that balancing act that I'm trying to strike today, especially even with the book and marketing the book. And so, yes, it's been actually to write the book. It took me about 2 years because I I'm married, have 2 children, 2 small children. I have a full-time job that takes up a lot of my time and energy, and then I am also active in my church, and with all of that going on, and
wow.
at the same time trying to actually write a book. So it's been a challenge. And like I said, one of the things that I like to talk about in the book is how you have to be flexible and have a plan. I mean, that's
yes.
frankly, you have a plan and be flexible with the plan.
You know, something I have come to learn from doing these interviews and also biographies and autobiographies that I have read, there, I find there are almost like three different groups of people. There's the one group that does very, very little, and they expect others to do so much for them. And the reasons is that they don't have enough time, or it's just a reason why they don't do more. Then there's another group that almost just does, almost like the C students in class, just enough to get through.
Right.
Then there's another group of people who, even despite their schedule, they still go on to go after their dreams and fulfill their destiny. And the same excuses the people in the first or second group use, they could use. They don't have the
yeah.
same. They don't have any more time than anybody in the first two groups. But for some reason, they go beyond. I've noticed that. I've seen it. The people who excel, you would think that they've got some lucky charm or something. I'm just saying they have just as much challenges as anybody else. They just push through it. I've seen
absolutely.
It too many times. There's something to that because I've seen it too many times.
Absolutely.
And I wanted to say next, Stephanie, is it possible, because I know you said, and this is something that we were just talking about, it's a struggle, and I myself have had to do it. It is a struggle, although my son has grown now. And people ask, is it possible to do all at the same time, to be a mom, to be a wife, to be an executive, to be a friend, a volunteer in the community, work on church committees, attend your child's sporting or other extracurricular events, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, keep your home up, be involved in the community? Is it possible to do it all at the same time? Because certainly we can do all of those things, but can we do
actually,
them all?
Actually, what I would say is that, you know, we obviously all have only a limited amount of time and energy. We all only have 24 hours in the day. But in a lot of the interviews and the conversations I've had with a lot of mothers and I've met and talked to and are friends with many exceptional mothers that I marvel at how well they handle the balancing act. But what I found is again, they have a plan. They have a structure. They think ahead, and they also have people to help, because you really, just like a leader cannot do everything
no.
by himself or herself. You can't do everything. You have to have good people around you. And that's what those successful mothers that I've talked to, when I say successful, I mean successful in being a mother as well as successful being a entrepreneur or being a corporate executive or being, you know, in the medical field, whatever it is that you do, those women are those who have put a group in place, a network in place where they have someone that they trust and they feel good about to watch their children when they need to go to this meeting. But they also prioritize their children's activities that they want to attend. Because I know I try to make sure that I attend all of my children's activities, or most of them. But
mm-hmm.
then so that means sometimes I have to cut short on my work day, but then I have to come home and work on my laptop after they
right.
go to sleep. So it's a constant challenge, and you're right, it's a constant push. It's a constant
mm-hmm.
push. And then there are sometimes when you have to just say, okay, this weekend I am not going to necessarily be productive.
Yes.
I'm just going to rest and relax. So you have to do that
too. Oh my
too.
Goodness. That is absolutely critical. You said two things. You know, we have the time thing, which is very relative, and then we also, but the energy component of it, each of us, you know, and we know when our gas tank's running low, and we can continue to push then, but We're probably going to pay for that if we're running on fumes for too long. So just
right.
to take some time out just to relax. Before I talk about your book, there was something you said like twice that I wanted to ask you about. You said that the women you've seen to succeed, to whether they're involved in the community, the corporate world, in the church, and raising their children successfully, they have a plan. Is this something that they sit down and write out, Stephanie, or in their mind are they planning out like the next step that they should take to make sure that all this gels together? Is it a plan that they're writing down? Like not like a business plan, but a personal plan or a goal map, or is it just simply something in their head that they're working out?
I think it's a combination of both. There's some aspects of it that one particular mother that comes to mind. Actually, she was one of the people who inspired me to read the book. Besides my own personal struggle, she is my pastor's wife, and she has such I don't believe she necessarily has it written down, but she has it mapped out in her mind. Maybe at some point she wrote it down, I don't know, but she has it mapped out in her mind what's going to happen on each day, what her children will be doing on each day, what she will be doing on each day. And it was when I listened to her speak not too long ago, and I was listening, and I was just amazed, and it helped to inspire me, and this is one of the things that I seek to do. It helped to inspire me to be a little bit more deliberate about my week and about my time. What are my priorities? What should get done? And for me, I am the kind of person that needs to write it down. Some people don't need to, but I'm the kind of person who needs to write it down and say, okay, every Monday, I'd like to get this accomplished. And again, you have to be flexible, obviously. But if you have a basic structure that everybody in the household pretty much understands, and also even at your job, if my boss knows that every Tuesday I'm going to leave early because my child has ballet or something like that, you have that understanding. Everybody is aware, and so there are fewer surprises, so that it takes a lot of stress out of your schedule. It really does.
Mm-hmm. And then a key too that you mentioned, we have to remain flexible. I think I do that in my head, sort of plan out my day so I can reach a goal that I might have, whether it's a financial goal, a goal of how many pages to a book I'm going to finish. I think I do that, but also we have to remain flexible because I've had times when I've planned things out, and I think I do probably mentally plan a lot of my days without even being aware that I'm doing it, and many of us might. And one of the ways I can tell that I do this is if something happens that causes my schedule to shift. It could be driving to work, there's been an accident, the traffic's backed up, or the road's closed and you're being directed to take another road that you've never been on, so you feel like, oh my God, now I'm going to get lost on top of being late. If the time that I would get extremely frustrated, I knew, okay, I'm a little too stuck on the plan. I've got to let it go. If the universe is sending me in a different way and I'm spazzing out, then I'm too caught hooked to the plan. Just be flexible and let it go somewhat.
Right.
Cause God's got his plan too.
Absolutely.
So to do both, and so I'm glad you said that, just to be flexible enough so that if you start finding yourself spazzing out because your child's crying a little more than usual and your plan, oh, my God, my plan's not going to go, just calm down.
Right. My husband always tells me it's going to be okay. It really is.
Yeah.
It really is.
And that's when we do get spazzed out because we've got this plan made up in our mind, and we might not even know it. And you're messing with my plan. What inspired you to sit down and write? I know you mentioned your pastor's wife. What inspired you to sit down and write Mommy Leadership, How to Use Your Motherhood Experience to Grow as a Leader?
Well, the biggest thing was my own personal struggle. I was married. I had my son, and I was starting to look around after I came back from maternity leave. I was looking around, at some of the other people and, you know, kind of asking myself, what do I want to do in the long run with my life? And, you know, am I going to be promoted? And I see other people being promoted, and I'm starting to feel kind of down on myself because I can't work the longer hours that I'm seeing some of these people who are being promoted are doing. I'm thinking that this is there's a link to that.
Right.
I can't take an overseas assignment because, you know, because I'm a mother. And I'm thinking about all these things that I feel like I can't do because I'm a mother. And then I started working on my PhD while I was working. And
wow.
With husband and child, that was my superwoman phase, and I got through that because I wasn't able to finish. I got pregnant while I was in my on the PhD, so that kind of took care of that. I really couldn't handle all of that at one time. I realized that I just didn't have the energy for all of that.
Right.
So when I went back to work, again, I started to look around and seeing people being promoted and say, oh, man, I can't take that overseas assignment. I can't do this. I can't do that. And I was walking, or I was driving home one day, and I just had an epiphany. I believe that God just dropped in my head, why is it that you're thinking only about motherhood and what it prevents you from doing?
Yes. What it's taking.
And that
yeah.
was an epiphany for me. It really was.
Wow.
It really was.
Wow.
So I started to just write. And I really hadn't planned on necessarily writing a book. I've always thought I was going to write a book. I didn't know what it was. I had no idea what it would be about.
Right.
But I said, I'm just going to start writing. I like to journal. I always have a journal with me all the time in my purse. I always have a journal that I can write, and I always have one beside my bed. And, you know, no matter what time of morning, I might wake up and write something down. So I just started to write about how I felt and what processes, what things could I do to take advantage of what I have learned being a mother, because the thing that I realized is that being a mother really changed me, because I've always been kind of a career woman, career girl. You know, I really enjoyed, you know, having my, having, you know, all that education, and I loved, you know, the corporate world and all of that. But when I had my children and I, you know, had challenges with, you know, with my, you know, working with teachers and challenges with just working with my children, trying to get them to do what I wanted them to do. And I thought about how, and then I looked at other mothers. You know, you always, mothers talk to each other and, you know, share our experiences, what's going on with our kids, and even mothers with teenagers and the things that they are trying to get their children to do, how they're trying to get their children to achieve goals, and they're trying to train their children. And I started to think about that in the context of leadership and what I see at work and what the supervisors and my managers and executives and all of those people are doing at work and other leadership settings, like church, what you're trying to do in terms of influencing people and helping them to reach goals. And I said, you know, a lot of that is you practice a lot of that in motherhood. And I don't think a lot of mothers realize that. So that's what made me say, you know what, I want to share this because I want other mothers not to feel like, oh, I'm just a mother.
Right.
I don't have anything to offer. Because a lot of mothers, and I'm sure you probably have had the experience where you talk to people or even maybe yourself had, like, processes in place that you didn't even think about it, but you had this process down pat.
Yes.
You got this done, and you did this, and you did that, and you're like, wow. Wow, you know, and even developing people, that's one of my favorite things that I think about as a mother. We develop people, and that's what leaders do. The leaders are supposed to do. They're supposed to develop people. They're supposed to develop other leaders and helping other people achieve their goals. And as a mother, I'm thinking if you're a good mother, that's what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
So it is challenging. It is challenging.
And even more
and
so for...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
And actually, one of the things that I talk about in the book is that you, as a mother, you have to use different types of leadership skills as the children progress to adulthood. Because even though your children are grown up, even though someone's child might be a teenager, you're taking on more of a coach, mentoring type of role with your child, as opposed to when they're infants and toddlers and grade school, you're probably doing more teaching and training. But all of those are leadership skills.
Wow. In your press release, you say that mothers are an untapped leadership resource. And it was something else you mentioned. I think about my corporate days now. I work full time, and I'm so appreciative of this as a writer. But I for the years that I was in the corporate world, one thing I noticed, and I didn't think this was a truly beneficial thing, and I think technology might start to squeeze this out of play a little bit, but I noticed that when people stay longer at a job, physically there longer, and it doesn't mean that their productivity was higher than somebody who didn't stay as long, because I've seen cases where it was just the opposite. But because they were physically there real early, stayed late, I don't know why in management it's just deemed that the person is, they care more about their job or they're more committed to the job, when just maybe they don't have a life at home. Who knows why they're there? I mean, really. And then you see folks get promoted, but they might be there at work all the time because they might think work is all they have. It might be their whole life. So I think, and hopefully that, I was just making that side comment, that will change in the corporate world, because I do know some business leaders, they're not impressed with how long you're physically at work, but some people are, and that's all you really have to do, and you can just start climbing up that ladder just by showing your face all the time.
But
I want to ask you next. In your press release, you say that mothers are an untapped leadership resource. Why do you say this, Stephanie?
I say that because I have felt, and in talking to other mothers, that it appears that sometimes companies, they make mothers feel as if they are not, because you are a mother and you have children, especially young children, you will not be as loyal or as accessible to the company. You may not be as productive. You'll have to leave early, like we were just saying. You'll have to leave early. You'll have to come late because you have to drop the children off. So you are not necessarily going to be somebody that we look to promote to a leadership position. I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's almost like, and they have laws around it, where you're not supposed to discriminate against a mother. But I can tell you, it's almost like it's – now, I have seen women in the corporate world really, really go far up the ladder who were mothers. But they really almost had to prove themselves. It's almost like people know in their minds that it takes time to take care of a baby. And this happens in some marriages where the husband, as soon as the wife has a baby, he knows now, okay, now I'm no longer number one. I've just moved down to number two. Then when you have another baby, now I'm not even number two. I'm number three. Then after a while, the guy's like, I am not even on the map anymore. So I think the same thing. Corporations feel like, okay, we were number one. She was really striving. She just had a baby. Now we've moved down. We're like number two.
And you know what?
Three on the list.
And honestly, you know, I know for myself, and then like I said, other mothers that I've talked to, you know, probably shortly after you have your child, it's just all about, you know, getting this child, you know, acclimated into the family, into the world, and all of that. And you're just, you know, oh, it's just all about the baby. But as time goes on, and your baby, because children are, we are to train them to be more independent. You're not going to be their whole world. Because right now, my children, it's funny, they still sing my name. They still sing mommy, mommy, mommy when I get home from work. But I am told by my mom and other mothers that is not going to be the case all the time.
No, right.
They get older, I am going to, they're not, when I get home, I probably will just get a grunt, you know.
Yeah.
But, so because their world will have expanded. So, you know, what I'm saying is that, right after you have a child, probably you're certainly going to be trying to rush home to your child. But one of the things that I found is women who have been allowed to do flexible work schedules, so you may have to leave earlier, something like that, or you work less days or whatever, those women are often so appreciative with that the company allows that, that they work so hard to make sure that they handle whatever it is they're supposed to handle on their job. Because I know, personally, I am the kind of person where if I have to leave early, if I need to, I'll get on my computer after the kids go to bed, and I'll be on the computer for a couple of more hours, whereas, you know, and make sure that I get what is supposed to be done in a timely manner.
Right.
So, you know, I think if companies would just invest a little bit more time and understanding of mothers' needs, they may get so much more out of mothers as leaders.
Wow. And some companies do that. They have on-site daycare, so the mother doesn't have to drive 20, 30 minutes to daycare, then go drive some more to get to work. You just go to work, drop the child off, and within 2 minutes you're at your office. So some are doing that. And then with, again, technology, I see some companies, whether you're a mother or not a mother, you can dial in, plug in from home and complete work at home if you don't have any face-to-face meetings or interactions that are necessary. So some organizations are doing that. And then I think as we move forward, I don't know if corporations will come out of this where, you know, it seems like so many people are battling for the number one spot in other people's lives, whether it's a boyfriend, girlfriend, they want to be the number one, or the spouse, I got to be number one, or the church, I want to be number one, or I got to be the number one spot in your life. You got to care about me the most. And when you're involved in a lot of things, well, everything can't be number one. So, and for corporations not to demand that they be number one in a person's life. And then, because I think if you demand that when a person has a child, well, yeah, you're not going to be number one. A child is going to become that number one priority generally in a parent, mother and father's life. So to put things in place to make it easier to, like you said, to work in business and also give your children what they need, because as well-developed children, not only are mothers doing what they do in the boardroom, but they also are developing the next generation's leaders. So they're doing two double duty. They're doing double duty,
right.
And I think that should be truly, truly appreciated. They're literally developing the next leaders that will lead in government, that will lead in the church, that will lead in the
right.
community, that will lead in the boardroom, and they're doing their job. And so I think that should be commended. I wanted to ask, when did you sit down, Stephanie? I know you said you had, and I wonder, how long had you been in the corporate world before you had your first child? And when did you sit down? Was it right after your child was born, your first child? And right, mommy leadership, how to use your motherhood experience to grow as a leader. How long were you in the corporate world before you had your first child? And how long after you had your first child did you write the book?
It probably was about 8 or 9 years before I had my first child, because when I started in corporate America, I was not married. So I would say it was probably about 7, 8 years before I had my first child.
Well, that was definitely a shift for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
The freedom, yeah, the freedom that I had before I was married before I had children. And so it really, after my first child, actually, to be honest with you, it wasn't a big deal with one child, not a big deal. So it really was after my second child, who was 4 years later,
okay.
And that's when it really started, and I got a little older, you know, started to get a little older and started to really look around me and think about, what am I accomplishing in the world, and, you know, what will be my legacy? That's when it really started to. That's when I started to actually sit down and started to write about how I felt, and then probably maybe 6 months later, I said, you know, and I talked to a lot of friends about it, how I felt, what I was thinking, and shared thoughts and experiences with them, and they, some of my girlfriends, some of my really close friends, said, you know what, you really should turn that into a book, and I'm like, you know, yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. I think I will turn that into a book. So
okay.
that's kind of how it worked out.
Wow. What are some of the topics that are covered in Mommy Leadership, How to Use Your Motherhood Experience to Grow as a Leader? What are some of the topics you tackle in the book?
Well, the first thing that I really talk about is how my own personal struggle that I just kind of went through with you, how I came to write the book and why I wrote the book. And I start to talk, and I talk about, and it kind of started a little bit talking to mothers about, you. Hey, understand that you're not just a mother. There's so much, there is something that you do well. And a lot of us as mothers say, oh, you know, I'm not as good a mother as I'd like to be. And, you know, I don't think anybody is as good a mother as they'd like to be. But mm-hmm. the point is that there is something that you do well, that you can, some skill that you, something that you do well as a mother that is likely linked to leadership that you can use. So that's kind of the introduction.
Okay.
Then I go into leadership. What is leadership? I talk a little bit about some of the leadership concepts and some of the leadership themes and things that you study, that you would study in a leadership, in a management or leadership class.
Okay.
When I was working my PhD, the PhD was in organizational behavior and leadership.
Okay.
So I did a lot of studying on leadership. So I saw some of the models that were out there that are kind of famous that you hear about. They're historical models that we talk about a lot. And I take those and show how mothers do leadership in that same way
mm-hmm.
at some point.
Okay.
So that's kind of the first thing. So I talk about the study of leadership. Then I go into a process, because I'm a real process-oriented person. I guess that's the engineer coming out in me.
Okay.
There's a process that I have, a four-step process that I talk about how you can transfer your leadership skills to the workplace. Because, and I'm not just talking about corporate. We're talking a lot about corporate because I'm in corporate. But this goes for people who are women who are entrepreneurs,
okay.
People who are in the medical field. People who are leaders in the church, women who are leaders
mm-hmm.
in the community. It doesn't matter. Wherever you are a leader, this applies. So
okay.
the four-step process is skill identification, and that's where you find out. You sit back and think about your own processes, what you do in your daily life as a mother, and identify something that you do well, because you probably, a lot of times we don't even realize what it is that we do well. So I talk about
mm-hmm.
that in the first step. The second step is skill adaptation. How do you actually adapt that skill to the workplace? Because you're talking about children versus adults, right?
Right.
So you talk about, there's some steps that you would go through to figure out how do I actually a plan, how can I put together just a quick little plan on how am I going to actually adapt this, how can I adapt this skill to the workplace to be a better leader. Then third is skill execution. Executing, and this is about executing your plan, actually doing what you planned in the previous step, and how are you going to execute it in that professional role, actually doing it. And then the fourth one is repetition, and actually repeating the process of using that skill that you do all the time as a mother, doing it in the workplace all the time, repeating it. So those are kind of the four basic steps on my mommy leadership method that I like to call it, because a lot of times this is really about transferable skills,
mm-hmm.
and we hear about transferable skills a lot when you're talking about trying to get a new job. You know, they tell you, oh,
mm-hmm.
you know, talk
yep.
about how you were a leader when you were
yeah.
in college, or how you were a leader in this community organization.
Right.
But a lot of times we don't really know, we don't really think about how do I actually transfer that skill, though.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I have the four-step process to say, here are some questions to ask yourself so you really can actually benefit from your experience in that other position and transfer that to your workplace, whatever that workplace is.
I think that is so beneficial to anybody who is seeking to do that, because, again, and this is across all types of careers, again,
right.
whether you're retail, manufacturing, entrepreneur, healthcare, education, whatever level you're at in any industry that you're working in, arts and entertainment, we could go on and on and on.
Right, right.
But I have heard women who've been out of the workforce say that if they had to go back to work, if their husband lost his job or whatever, they would be at a loss. And I have a question I want to ask you about that. But before, I want to let our listeners who might have just joined us and those who have been with us since the start of the show know that we are speaking with Stephanie Williams, and she is our very special guest today. She's a leader and the author of the book Mommy Leadership: How to Use Your Motherhood Experience to Grow as a Leader. Stephanie earned her bachelor's degree in industrial engineering from Kettering University and her MBA from Indiana University. And I do encourage you to go online and visit her at mommyleadership.com, spelled the way it sounds. And at mommy, because I know you can spell mommy two different ways, I-E or with the Y. This is spelled with the Y, M-O-M-M-Y, mommyleadership.com. And she continues to work a full-time job, and she's a wife and the mother of two children. She has her MBA, and she was going after her PhD, and at that time she had stopped and sat down and penned Mommy Leadership, How to Use Your Motherhood Experience to Grow as a Leader. She's not somebody who's just observing women and interviewing and surveying women to collect the material for the book. She actually has lived through this. And I love that four-step plan that you've laid out in Mommy Leadership, How to Use Your Motherhood Experience to Grow as a Leader. I wanted to ask you, Stephanie, before I gave the second introduction, one thing that popped into my head, and I've heard people say this, whether we're in an economic downturn or economic upturn, I've heard said, if my husband were to lose his job, or a woman who is takes care of the children, and right now, because of the money, the income her husband brings in, they can survive comfortably on that. But sometimes women, I've heard say this, and women who might be married to very powerful men, that they start to feel, even though they're raising their children, I don't know if it's insecure. They don't feel as that they're putting as much on the table, and it can start to impact a woman's self-esteem. What do you say? What advice would you give to a woman who might even right now be petrified that, oh my God, what would I do if my husband lost his job? She's devoted her entire life to their children, which I think devoting yourself to your children is good, but I also really recommend women have a holistic life and do other things for themselves, because one day when those children leave, if your whole life has been devoted to your children, you will find ways to continue to mother them when they're 50. And so that's not good, and that's not healthy, and that's not helpful to anybody. So to live a holistic life, your book has so many strong, beneficial points. I mean, you're literally almost encouraging a woman to live a holistic life, which can make that transition when her children grow up and they leave home so much smoother for her, because she's not feeling like she's lost everything. She's got a full life. What do you say to women who are petrified, either that their children are going to leave, and now that that job as mother is coming to an end, which it will for all of us, or the woman is thinking, oh my God, you know, and we're coming out of the recession, but she's thinking, oh my God, if my husband was to lose his job, oh, what will we do? She can't even get unemployment because she hasn't worked in years, or maybe never worked. What advice, how can a woman take these mother skills now, Stephanie, who doesn't have any work experience, and transfer them to getting a job?
What I would say first is one of the other things that I talk about in the book, and I struggle with this terribly sometimes, is about self-talk. So that's the first thing, is if you don't believe you bring anything to the table, probably other people won't believe it either. I've not done a scientific study, but I think that women, especially mothers, do a lot of self-talk, and a lot of it is saying, we kind of indict ourselves and say, oh, you're not as good a mother as you should be, or oh, you're not this, or oh, you're not, you don't have anything to offer. And then we come up with our own evidence to ourselves. We kind of do that. I know I do that more often than I should. But other people, when other people look at you, they see, it's a shame sometimes, they see so much more in you than you see in yourself.
Yes.
However, what I say in the book is that the voice that is the most important is your voice to yourself.
Mm.
What you think about yourself is more important than what anybody thinks about you. So if you can't, if you don't believe that you bring anything to the table, if you can't see something good about yourself, and that's really what Mommy Leadership wants to encourage mothers to do, is to step back, and that's the first step, the skill identification. Step back and look at, and it, there's a series of questions, like I said, that help you to kind of think about, what is it, let me just kind of survey my life. What is mm-hmm. it that I am really good at? It may be something that I only practice as a mother, but I can transfer that. Now, if you've not been in the workplace in a long time, it's harder for you to understand or even think about how do I transfer that. So what I would recommend is most of us have friends. Most people have friends who are probably that are still working or that are in the workplace. So you likely, as a woman, you likely have other friends. You may not be able to spend as much time with them because you're at home during the day and they're working.
Right.
If you could just make some time and just chat with them about, talk to me about the work world. What's going on in the work world? What are the trends? The internet is also a phenomenal way, you know, that we didn't have years ago to learn about what's going on in the workplace. Another thing is I also recommend in the book, I talk about some things that as Mommy Leadership, some tips for mothers. Also, learning, being a continual learner is important. So if you can just take a class here and there, maybe once a quarter or whatever, just take a class in something to just broaden your mind and kind of get your juices flowing, you know, mentally. Those types of things. Reading, there's, you know, whenever you go to the bookstore, there's all kinds of books, you know, in leadership and management. Every time I turn around, there's a new leadership or management book out there. There's so much out there. So if you have to take the initiative to and educate yourself to that's what I did. One of the things that I did when I was on maternity leave and I really was kind of struggling, even when I started back to work, I was struggling with my company was not offering a whole lot of training courses. So because, you know, that's one of the first things companies cut back on, right, is training. So what I did is I looked around for some type of training that would not cost a lot of money, because training, obviously, that's why they cut back on it, because training costs a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked around for something that I could do that was inexpensive. What I found was Toastmasters. Toastmasters is very inexpensive. That helped me to be more confident. I know I enjoy public speaking, but it helped me to hone my public speaking skills. It's a wonderfully, wonderfully comfortable place to practice not only your public speaking skills, but leadership. They also offer that now at Toastmasters. This is not a Toastmasters commercial, but what I would say to a woman that is petrified or is feeling like, I don't have anything to offer. My children are getting, they're teenagers, they're getting older, they're ready to leave. I've not been in a workplace in forever. I'd like to go back and do something, but I don't think I have anything to offer. And so I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Stephanie.
No, I was just going to say, that's what I would say to one of those women.
You have really shared so, so much. And a lot of things that hadn't even crossed my mind, but talking to friends to find out what's going on in the work environment, if you've been out of it for a while, going on the internet, joining social networks, joining groups of in the industries you're interested in, and becoming a member of, reading magazines, books in regards to the skills you will need in the job you're going into. If you want to start your own company, reading up on you can either read up on how to start a business. You can even go on the internet. The IRS has one on starting business businesses as far as a lot of the forms that you would need. The small business, I think it's Small Business Administration, SBA.gov, they also have places that you can check. You can look in to see if there are any grants. They usually don't have grants to start a company, but depending on the type of services or products that you offer, you might be able to get grants to continue and to support and strengthen your business, looking for grants and funding, particularly if you're going to start like a nonprofit, and learning how to write proposals if you're going to seek money to fund your business, if you're going to take that route. But just reading up on it, the information is out here. And the taking a community course or a Toastmaster course, that is, I thought that was Stephanie, you sharing that. I really appreciate it. That was a great idea. But hopefully mothers, as they listen to this, they can see that fear starting to decrease and go down, because they see there are just a vast amount of ways they can make that transition and go back into working very, very easily and not having to take a job that they absolutely hate, but going into a job that they would love and learn from and be able to continue to teach and help others expand as they went into the workforce and continue to be a mother. Your book, Stephanie, is one of the first of its kind, I said at the start of this show, that I've come across. In your market research, if you did do market research before you wrote the book, have you found mommy leadership, how to use your motherhood experience to grow as a leader? Have you found that to be a pioneering book?
You know, when I first started to write it, I thought so.
Okay.
I think it is, in that there is actually process, there's a process, there's a method, the four-step process that I have in there. From that standpoint, I believe yes. There are other books, though, that I have discovered since after I published it, that talk about a similar concept. So yes, it is recognized, probably more so from the management perspective than the leadership perspective, because there is a distinction between management and leadership, because we always talk about, oh, moms are great time managers, and, you know, and they're great at managing resources and all of that, and that's what managers do, yes. But I'm talking about leadership. I'm talking about influencing others. There are things that you do as a mother to influence people, to influence your children to greatness. You know, I think about some of the mothers, and I would love to, say, talk to certain the mothers of certain children, of certain adults who have become great people. And I enjoy hearing what it is that they did to help their child, or to what was their philosophy in raising their children, because there are things, I mean, one of the things that I think is one of the leadership skills that I love to talk about is framing. And as mothers, we help frame and reframe situations in order to influence our children to do the things that we want them to do. Because they might say, you know, for example, especially with, like, let's say with teenagers, because, you know, teenagers, they want to be, they're like, oh, you said to do that? Oh, no, I don't want to do that, just because you said it. And if you help them, if you reframe what it is you want them to do, or what the outcome of it could be, you are likely to encourage them, influence them to do what it is you want them to do. And those are leadership skills. Delegating is a leadership skill. It's like I said, it's about influencing, helping people to transform their lives and become so much more than what they started out as.
Or what they thought they could be. Yeah, and a great coach does that. And it usually takes somebody who sees something in you, and that's why they hired you, because they saw something in you, or they wouldn't have hired you to start with. And now they're going to, themselves being a leader, they know what they've already taken the steps to get from where you are now when they first hired you to where they became, if they're a great leader. They know the process. If they see that in you, they know how to draw it out. And then you said the reframing of certain situations so that they can help you to become perhaps even greater than you thought you were able to be. I love your website, Stephanie. I got to ask you, who created your website? Very, very attractive, very sticky, professionally done. Did you create your website yourself?
I did.
Oh, my goodness.
I did because that's, you know, that's another point that I'd like to make for moms, because I had to do a lot of this on a limited budget because I didn't want to take from my family. I didn't want to take from my family's income and what we, you know, what we're trying to do with our children and our home and all of that. So a lot of that I did myself. I had some help from a friend's husband helped me to do the template, and then I started to fill it in myself. He showed me how to do it, and trust me, I am not very tech savvy.
Well, you did a phenomenal job. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Thank
and for
you.
Our off-the-shelf listeners, Stephanie Williams is at mommyleadership.com, M-O-M-M-Y, leadership.com. Go check that website out. Oh, my goodness, she did it herself. I also became a Facebook fan of yours. Could you tell us about some other social network sites that you're a member of?
Yes, I'm actually a member of a group called Women on the Verge. And then there's another group that I'm a member of, and the Diva Toolbox. Mm-hmm. And let's see, there's My Work Butterfly. And those three networks that I have become a member of, I really didn't become a member until I published my book, and it was, you know, in an effort to kind of get the word out. And what I have been amazed at is how supportive these women have been. And it's, you know, because, you know, a lot of times you hear about women not helping each other and being jealous and all of that. But these women who I've never met in person before, and some I've never even talked to on the phone, have been so supportive in, you know, encouraging me and giving me, you know, positive feedback about the book and about the concept of mommy leadership. And these organizations, these women have, you know, allowed, you know, they allow you to put your, you know, to put something out on their social network for other women. And that's, you know, and like you said before, that's another thing, another area for moms who are reentering the workplace, because My Work Butterfly, that's one of the main things that they talk about, that, you know, you can start network with other women who are reentering the workplace, some who are, you know, obviously working, and then some who are reentering the workplace, and you can get encouragement and just understand that you're not out there by yourself. And that's what I've gotten from My Work Butterfly, from the Diva Toolbox, which is a group that really gives you, like, tools to help you to get to the next level, whatever that next level is and whatever you're doing, and then Women on the Verge. So those are some great networks.
And I thank you for sharing those. Another one that I like that I'm a member of is Onyx Woman Network. Oh, I think it's O-N-Y-X, and Ola Jackson runs that. She also owns Onyx Woman Magazine and a television, and she used to do radio.
I was going to say, I have to check that out. What is it again?
Yeah. Onyx, O-N-Y-X, Onyx Woman. And she's on Ning. That's a Ning site that I'm on. But she does television, radio. She has a magazine. She's also a woman truly, truly on the go. And her she has an adult son. I think he's autistic. But she's a wife as well. She's just done and continuing to do phenomenal things. She's out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Ola Jackson. And, again, that's Onyx Woman Network for any of our listeners and Stephanie as well, who are tuning in to today's show and are looking for another outlet that they can support and that will support them. Next, Stephanie, have you thought about or do you plan to create, and we only have about 6 minutes left, but have you or do you plan to create workshops centered around material in your book, Mommy Leadership, How to Use Your Motherhood Experience to Grow as a Leader?
I do. That is one of the things that I actually, probably more so than even the book, I am really more interested in speaking to women face-to-face, training. I'm a certified trainer, and I've done some training on my job, and I have done training on a lot of other things, and this is something that is near and dear to my heart that, as you can tell, I'm pretty passionate about. Mm-hmm. And so I am working on some workshops right now, and also working on toying with the idea of doing a radio show as well.
on
for working
Stephanie. You'll be phenomenal.
Oh, thank you. I'm trying to think about that whole energy thing, about how much energy.
Yeah, because you got so much on you, right? Yeah.
So yes, I'm trying to work on. I'm working on the content and putting it into the format for several workshops that I would love to offer for women, especially going into the season when we start to think about Mother's Day. Mother's Day is until May, but as far as I'm concerned, Mother's Day should really be Mother's Month. as much as we do.
Mother's Year.
Right. I don't think one day to celebrate it is enough, but okay.
Yeah.
So I'm working on those workshops as we speak, and actually I'm also working on some mini books that will be available on my website and for different topics. Like one of the topics is about first-time supervisors, people who are first-time supervisors. That's one of the ones that I'm working on. Talking about another one I'm working on is about communication, leadership communication. And, you know, just kind of giving some women and mothers some tips and just some things to think about from as a mother, and, again, how you can use that in your professional activities.
Wow. How can off-the-shelf listeners get a copy of your book, Mommy Leadership, How to Use Your Motherhood Experience to Grow as a Leader? Please give us several outlets or places they can go to on and offline that they can get a copy of your book.
All right, so obviously BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com, from my website, or you can go through my publisher, BookLocker.com. Those are generally the ways. Obviously, you can contact me as well to get a copy, but those are the easiest ways to get a copy of the book.
Now,
I'm
what's
actually
the
working
publisher?
On also down being able to download. Oh, actually, you also can download it from BookLocker.com.
You can download it from where? Please give us that again.
BookLocker.com.
BookLocker.com. And what was the publisher's URL again?
www.BookLocker.com.
No, and that's the publisher's URL as well?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. BookLocker.com. And you can go to Stephanie's website, Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com. And you can also order a copy from MommyLeadership.com. You can get the ebook from BookLocker.com if you prefer to read Mommy Leadership, How to Use Your Mother Experience to Grow as a Leader. And Stephanie's working on some short books that will deal with specific topics that she can make available to mothers to help them if they're already in the workforce or thinking about going into the workforce. Or you may decide that you just want to remain a mother, but you want to learn some more effective ways to help develop your children into great leaders, whether they use those leadership tools in the community or in their own family or at work. Whether you want to just remain, you say, you know what, I don't want to go into the workforce. I just want some tools to teach me how to develop my children so that they can become as great as they are meant to be, and also they can become effective leaders in their own families, or in their own lives, in their own communities. Or you want to go back into the workforce and you want some tools to help you do that, or you're in the workforce and you want some tools to help you strengthen your position there, then these are the books that Stephanie is making available to you. And this information is also in Mommy Leadership, How to Use Your Motherhood Experience to Grow as a Leader. Real quick, we only have 2 minutes left. You've got these short topics that are at your website, and I wanted to ask you, with only 2 minutes left, could you tell us what that speech, Go For It, what is it about, and who were you addressing when you delivered that speech?
These were speeches that I actually originally wrote for Toastmasters, and I got a lot of good feedback on those speeches, Go For It and A Cinderella Moment. And Go For It is basically encouraging you to go for it, and why it is you should go for it, and how you can go for it. So that's really what that speech is about. And then Cinderella Moment is about how we all have a, what I like to call a Cinderella moment, where we have one moment in time when, one special moment, maybe more than one, where you can influence the right person in just in that right way, where they will seek you out to do what it is you are supposed to be doing in life.
Wow, I've got to read that one. Oh, my goodness. And then you also list rest as a number one thing that mothers should do, and I wanted to say that before we close, and we mentioned that before, because just being a mother is enough. And then if you're also doing other things, to also make sure you take time out to love you and appreciate you and to rest. And I want to thank Stephanie Williams, the author, again, today of struggling for the title of the book, Mommy Leadership, How to Use Your Mother Experience to Grow as a Leader. You have got to go over and see her website. I'm telling you, and she created herself, and I'm blown away. MommyLeadership.com, M-O-M-M-Y, leadership.com. You've got to go over there, get a copy of her book, and which can benefit anybody. Leadership.
Right.
We need it in every area of our life. You don't even have to be a mother to benefit from reading, learning how to be a great leader. It's something that we all use these skills in one way or another. Stephanie, thank you so much. Oh, my goodness. Got to have you back on.
Thank you for having me.
What a phenomenal woman you are. You all go check out her website and see if you're not blown away. And please come back next. Oh, and so appreciate you, Stephanie. Please come back next Saturday, January 29th at 11 o'clock, where we will have another phenomenal guest so we can continue to help you as you move forward and fulfill your own life mission and your goals. Next Saturday, January 29th, 11 o'clock, here at Off the Shelf Radio. In the meantime, please remember, you are so valued, so truly blessed, so appreciated, and you are just absolutely phenomenal to our Off the Shelf listeners. We appreciate you. We appreciate our special guest, Stephanie Williams. Go visit her, MommyLeadership.com. Bye for now. Stephanie, I'll shoot you an email.
All right.